The most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate all its contents. We live on a placid island of ignorance in the midst of black seas of infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far.
You're listening to Cthulhu and Friends, starring Stacy, Mike, Josh, and I am your game master, Veronica.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cthulhu and Friends. This is the CAF Q&A number 4. We're a podcast! Such a podcast. Yeah, Veronica doesn't have anything to say about that anymore, because now it's like in writing that we're a podcast. Yeah. It's in the Project Bombshell announcement comic.
I let my goof go. I'm done with that.
It's not a goof, it's not. Now it's like our thing. I'm going to have a t-shirt made that said, Cthulhu and Friends, we're a podcast! Just like, I don't know how I'm going to spell that, but
did you say podcast?
Podcast?
I loved it when we were editing that episode, and everyone was like, "You said podcast," but then when we finally got to the editing section, Josh was like, "No, listen," and it was very clear that he actually said podcast, and I was like, "Oh, damn! How did we all three miss this?"
Fuck your asses in the eye. So, hey, lady, who are you anyway?
I am your game master, Veronica, but we're not gaming right now, so I'm just Veronica.
It's true. Yeah, I'm Josh, and I don't really know if I have a character for season 3. This may be interesting. Maybe I can be co-DM.
No.
I'm Stacy, and I still have characters for next season? Or character?
Character.
Yeah, your one character murdered your other character inadvertently.
I'm Michael, and I play Cthulhu and Friends.
So here we are after the season finale of season 2, and it's a little different from season 1. At the end of season 1, it was like an obvious transition point, but now it seems like things are still going on the same track, but it's still a very suspenseful moment that we left off on, with Eric having a hole through his throat and Eddie being inside the mainframe of Mason 1, and then Mike doesn't have any... Ronald is alive.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, I'm going to start giving questions to you guys. So, our first question is, when is the stream going live? And the answer to that is about 10 minutes ago. Moving on. You know, this time we're not going to say who the questions are from. Just know that if you send us a question, and we answer your question on the air, that we love you.
Well, we love you in equal amount as the people that also submitted questions that we also answered, and also the fans that did not submit a question because they had no questions. We love you.
How can you not have questions?
What about unanswered questions?
Veronica
That's
loves
my
those.
Favorite.
So this question is, where the hell does Jack find all those cigarettes in the wasteland that is future Earth? Do you want to answer that, Veronica, or can I? Actually, Jack isn't even me anymore. Yeah, I can't even
speak
to that.
Jack.
Veronica, where does Jack get all those cigarettes?
Where does Jack get cigarettes? Well, I would assume that Jack kind of just rolls his own cigarettes. I mean, he has a deal with fucking Flying Night Gaunt, so I don't think that acquiring tobacco, and there have to be enough Bibles left over for him to have wrappers for these things, so...
Veronica, this question is really, really cool.
No. I already refuse to answer it.
No, you're going to love this. Is Clem's true form the woman? And is it at all similar to Olga from Nightwatch?
Oh! It is extremely similar to Olga from Nightwatch. Whoever submitted this question, I love you so much, and...
Do you want to know who sent it just for shits
and
giggles?
Yeah, I mean, they get me.
It is our good friend from the RPG Academy, Caleb Gillombardo.
Awesome. Yes. Let's see. What was the first time that I saw Nightwatch? Like, probably close to about the time that we started the podcast. And that's actually where I got the inspiration for Clem. I was like, fuck me, that is a fucking cool character. And I listened to the Nightwatch audiobook. And yeah, it was just a perfect way to bring Clem in and to kind of at least introduce that character in her fullest. So without giving away too much about what she is. But yeah, she's definitely being punished. That's for sure.
Well, speaking of Clem, Veronica, isn't there something going on that's in the works for the with the Patreon?
Yeah, actually.
Like something to do with Clem and like official CAF canon and something about fans being able to play? Oh, I don't know.
Again? Yes. I'm going to be opening up a new tier on Patreon. It is going to be our highest level tier because if you want to be a part of Clem Ventures and play the 3.0 Asian Adventures with me and kind of see where Clem comes from many, many, many years ago, how she became who she is, how she became cursed, you're going to get the opportunity to do that and be a part of that official canon. I'm really excited for that. I hope other people are excited for it as well. That'll actually be released on our side quest stream, but it will be official CAF canon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about it. I hope that people want to participate in it, so we'll see.
Here's something that I personally have been wondering for a long time. Will we ever hear more about Darius, the guy who originally sealed away Nyarlathotep? And that's it mentioned in season one. What, episode 5, episode 6? The first time we really come across Harold when Jack meets him. Harold refers to him as a real motherfucker or something like that?
Yeah, we will hear about Darius again. More than likely, we'll probably get to it first in one of the Project Bombshell comics and then secondarily in the Clem Ventures.
I want to say this question is for Mike Lane specifically.
Ooh.
Are you ready, Mikey?
Yeah.
Okay, if your dead characters all fought each other, who would win?
Oh, shit. That is a really good question.
That is a good question.
I know who it would be.
I mean,
I can tell you exactly who it would be.
Offhand, I would think that Luke would probably win because I built him mainly as a combat character. Emmett was not a combat character. He had some traits that didn't come out, but I don't think he would have done very well. Xander, obviously, maybe could have done pretty good against Luke, depending on the situation. But I think combat-wise, straight combat, fisticuffs, Luke would take it all.
I don't know. I wonder, like, what would have happened if Xander had become fully evolved, though? Because then he'd be, like, a badass like Luna. So...
That's true.
I mean, if you really think about it, Emmett was the sneaky, tricksy guy. If anything, he might actually trick Xander into helping take out Luke and then backstab him. That's the kind of guy that Emmett was. That's my opinion. But as far as straight up, yeah, punching, I agree with Mikey, dude. Luke was a bad motherfucker. Yeah.
Had Luke not rolled a fucking one, I don't know. Luke probably could have been at the end of the season.
And what a great character. Seriously, Mike, I really loved listening to Luke and playing along with Luke and stuff. I love that character. It's still to this day, oh, I hate that he fucking died so early on because he had so much, well, character, you know, and personality, and he was just a cool ass dude. And I wanted to see him get in a fight and like fuck someone up, but no, you got stabbed in the eye by a ruthless bitch.
Well, I got dominated by Mason.
That's true. Stacy.
Yes.
I personally, Josh, have a question for you that I wondered ever since we aired the last episode. How exactly do you feel about Luna being responsible for Lily's death? Like, how does that make you feel? What are your thoughts?
That sucked so bad. And it was not something that I saw coming at all. I don't really have any words for it. I was very, very upset because she was so close. So close.
Well, I have to say that with Eric and Eddie being in separate parties, I've always kind of understood the fact that there is a possibility that these two characters can meet each other and one of them could kill the other. And so I've always like had it in my head that that could be a thing that could happen to my characters at any time. And I don't think it has ever even been a thing for you assholes. And well, here it ends up you being the one to deal with that and not me. It's really surprising.
I actually, if anything, if I would have thought two characters would have attacked each other or had any issues like that, it would have been Riley and Lily. So that never played out. Luna and Lily didn't have any bad blood, so that was really, that really sucked.
Here's a pair of questions for Veronica. I think they go hand in hand. First, I had two people ask this question.
Oh.
Where has Harold been?
Oh, that is an excellent question, and one that I would love to answer for you. We were on Earth for about a week, give or take, and the actions of the characters that played in that week, which was season two, it didn't really make as big of an impact on Harold as I think everyone would have wanted it to. As soon as the artifacts came down and Harold could get those to Jack, immediately intervened. But after that point, and after he kind of set in motion a way for Jack to get the artifacts, he kind of stepped back, and we will see what happens to make him want to come back and intervene again.
Well, speaking of Harold, here's a question from me personally. Are Jack and Harold like buddies? Do they sit down and, you know, have coffee with each other? Like, do they like high five each other and bang the same chick? I mean, like, what is the relationship between Jack and Harold? Is it a love, hate, hate, love, hate, hate? You know what I mean?
The best way that I can describe this is that if Jack were a racehorse, Nyarlathotep has a lot of money riding on him. And so he's doing what he can to make sure that Jack is successful. But because of Jack's personality, there is no way for them to have some kind of amicable relationship. And so in order to succeed in the things that he wants Jack to accomplish, Nyarlathotep definitely takes a step back. I think that that kind of conniving nature, you can actually really see so much better than I could ever put this character out there, but the man in black, Randall Flagg in The Stand, wherein he has pawns kind of doing all of this work for him. You know, it's very possible that he could be doing this work and that he could just make things happen for himself, but he doesn't. He has pawns doing that. And that is very much the way that Jack is being used. But I think that maybe Jack has a couple of tricks up his sleeve.
You know, I like Harold a lot. I think he's pretty badass.
I think he's super cool, and I'm excited to bring him back.
So we have some questions for that asshole Hiroshi, but his dumbass couldn't be here, Hiroshi. A couple questions from the creepers just for you. So, hey, you know what? Record yourself and fucking put it in here. The first question is, how did you get hooked up with ye old Cthulhu and friends? And then a follow-up question. Will Hiroshi and his silky voice become a permanent role-playing cast member?
Hey, Creepers. Sorry I couldn't actually be there properly. But to answer these questions, I met Josh through this little iPod game. We ended up in the same group randomly. Got a group chat. There were about five of us, six of us who really were talking consistently. And Josh and I kind of hit it off pretty quick. We found out we had very similar senses of humor, a lot of things in common, and he told me he was going to be starting up this podcast at some point in time. And after episode one came out, it became very apparent that Josh was not happy with the sound of episode one, so I offered little tips and tricks as I could, but Josh and V both really ran beautifully with trying to make sure they were putting out as good a product as possible. And, you know, I kind of stayed in contact with Josh, at least from that point on. I had made the offer a couple of times. If they ever needed help with the editing or anything like that, I would love to get involved in the project. You know, I was a pretty hardcore creeper. I had already gone through season one 3 times by the time season two started. And then Josh asked if I was serious and wanted to start editing for him. And season two, episode 7, I made my debut. Now, as for becoming a permanent member of the cast, I would love nothing more. Honestly, the joy that I have gotten out of working with these guys and the incredible experience I've had playing with them, joining on as a permanent member would be a dream come true. Unfortunately, my work schedule is pretty damn crazy, so it's really, really hard for me to try and schedule play sessions. It would be really unfair of me to say, hey, I really want to be involved in this, so everyone, change your schedules to accommodate moi. And also, I think it would affect the regularity and the quality that came out every single week. And I look at this creeper first. I do not want to negatively impact the quality of this show. I want to make sure it's as good for you guys each and every week as possible. So, unfortunately, for the time being, I will not be joining the cast proper. But, Josh, I think you had a couple of notes. Yeah, that's right. I'm making fake throwbacks here.
As kind of the big dick behind the side quest stuff right now, I want him to be a part of the side quest stuff just so that we can get more Hiroshi out there. And honestly, as a GM, I love having him in the party because he brings a fun flavor to everything with his absolute commitment to his fucking stupid characters. Mike Lane, how have you been coping with all of these character deaths?
Well, you know, Xander's was obviously the hardest, and although Emmett didn't die at first but was taken, you know, we thought that was the end of him, and then Luke suddenly died. It was really rough, but fortunately, my character survived a bit longer, you know, for the rest of the season, which made it much more rewarding. But I don't mind. V has been awesome in thinking of really colorful ways to take me out, and I cannot... I cannot be upset about that because it's just too much fun.
That's a man, you're a good sport. That's a really awesome way to look at it. Stacy, we all know that your first time role-playing was season one, episode one, with you making fun of Jack after he fell down the ladder. I think we can all agree that you have come a very, very long way as a role player. How do you feel about how far you've progressed as a role player?
I always think it's nice to hear that people think I've come so far, but I feel like I still struggle with a lot of things. There's still times where I'm like, okay, I need to pull myself away from these situations because I'm not supposed to be making decisions based on how I personally feel about it rather than how this character feels about it. I don't really know how I feel about it overall. I think I still have a lot to learn, and I'm looking forward to continuing it. So
I think that's like the mark of a really good role player, though, is that no one that comes to the table is ever completely confident with their role playing or even GMing skills. It's all of us, every single session, want to be better than the last session, and we want to be able to bring our characters and NPCs to life. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that makes our show special is that we're never going to sit down at the table and say, oh, if I can just capture what I did last time. That's never the case. It's always, what can I do to make that better, to make my weaknesses stronger, and make that the standard of my performance? I think that's a really good outlook, Stacy.
Stacy, how pissed off were you that you rolled 3 ones in a row?
It wouldn't have been so bad if I hadn't used my perks to try to avoid those ones. And then to top it off, that is essentially what murdered Lily. I'm sure. So I was pretty pissed off. You can hear it actually in the final product.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. For that episode. And that was, I toned it down. I was very, very pissed off.
Well, I think you guys remember that one time I rolled like a 1 and a 1 and a 2 or what? I fucking threw my dice across the room and then swore to never use those dice again. And I have it. Yeah. So I can relate. You know, I throw hissy fits. I'm not as reserved as you are, I guess.
No, those dice, they're going somewhere else. I'm not.
Put them in the fucking food disposal. Like, grind them bitches up.
They're just going to go to a new home. No, thank you.
Yeah. Send them to some poor other role player who deserves to die.
Stacy, just go randomly to a house in your neighborhood, leave them on the doorstep, and ring the doorbell and run.
I don't think anybody here would get that. That'd actually be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, they'd be like, did something poop dice?
And then
like,
you'll see that house on fire later, and you'll be like, holy shit, that was me.
It was real.
They really were cursed.
Mike Lane, how many backup characters do you have for season 3?
I did think about this, and since it seems, for the time being, that we're going to a one-party system, I think I'm going to have 2, just because, although Stacy had a run of bad luck recently, I'm usually the mainstay of rolling ones and killing characters, so just so I don't get caught off guard like I did last time.
I feel like 2 is not enough.
Well, but I have 1 going in, so I should be okay.
I feel like Cam was such a great addition, though, and he was the most on-the-fly character, too. I almost feel like the less you're able to think about characters, the better you play them, because that makes you immediately get into the mindset of role-playing. So it's like, oh, I don't know what this guy's backstory is. And so when I ask you something, you immediately have to be that character and think, oh, okay, well, did his dad beat him up? Yeah, he did. Okay, that's, I have a really bad relationship with all males or something. You know, it's just, I think it's kind of a cool thing, and I really love the way that Cam came out. Cam was probably one of my favorite characters this season, so I enjoyed him.
So maybe I'll throw a wild card.
A Charlie
I'll
Kelly.
I'll plan 1, and then I'll have 1 just rolled up.
Charlie Kelly. Wild card, bitches! Woo! Man, we keep on getting these Mike and Stacy questions. God damn it, I want to answer 1 now. Stacy, do you think you could kill Veda?
As Luna or me personally? Because me personally, no.
Let's say as Luna.
I don't know what Veda's capable of anymore, because V's had her and she's obviously a little bit different than she was before. I think it would be an interesting fight. I'll say that much.
You know, it's funny. The things that I don't think about in the story seem to be the things that questions keep popping up about. For instance, the train from season 1. I had a question that said, what happened to the train? There's another question that says, can the train space travel? Does it have an atmosphere of its own? Who thinks it's a train? It just went through time and space. It's I mean, come on, people. Veronica, go ahead and answer.
I think we might get to the train maybe season 4, season 5.
Are you serious? There's more from the train?
Yeah.
I thought that fucker was smushed.
Wait, no, Josh, seriously. You have a fucking flying time-traveling train. You don't just drop it off some shit place in New York and leave it there.
It's upstate New York, though, so it's beautiful.
Oh, that's true. It was nice. And there were carnies, so they'd get that shit running again.
Who is the new AI, and what is her purpose? Duh, the new AI is Alice, and she's not new. It's the same AI that was in the season 2 promo. And what's her purpose? I don't know. I think that's up to Eddie Mason.
I don't want to say that she was only from the season 2 promo. That is the AI that Eddie and I think even Eric and God, anyone that addressed the main AI had interaction with the AI that we now know as Alice. It was super cool. And I am so excited to take over that character and really let that be a thing, because it was something that, you know, I didn't have an extra player. So it's a beautiful thing. I love it. I'm so excited.
You know, it's funny. As I was doing all that stuff, making that all up on the fly, I was like, I just created a new character for Stacy and she didn't have shit to say about it. But in my head, I kind of wanted Alice to be a companion to Eddie, because it, you know, you got to realize at this point, he has pretty much forsaken any humanity that he has and has just embraced his, I don't know, I don't even know what to call it. He's just embraced what he is, I think.
I thought it was a super interesting choice that Eddie left Lily. And, you know, we've talked about this, I think, on the stream and talked about it in podcasts. And Josh and I have talked about it in our living room. Or I'm just like, I just can't believe you did that. Like, yes, it was the most logical thing for that character to do. He was going to die. Lily looked like she was going to die. It didn't make sense. But I was just so fucking shocked that that happened.
Well, that doesn't mean that Eddie is not going to try to find Lily as soon as he gets all his resources and stuff up and running. What he does when he finds out what happened to Lily, that remains to be seen. And you know, it's, I find myself in a really interesting position at the end of season two, going into season three, because I mean, of course I'll figure it out before we start season three, but right now I don't know if I have a character. I mean, Eric is shot in the throat. Eddie is an AI, which, to be completely honest, is a perfect position for him to be taken over by Veronica. And that's kind of what I half expect her to do. Because, I mean, honestly, how can I be a part of the party when I am inside the computer, you know? But I don't know what season three is going to hold. I don't know who I'm going to play. I don't know if I need to make a new character. I mean, this is a really weird position for me to be in as a member of this show. You know, it's definitely unlike anything I've dealt with before with Cthulhu and Friends.
Which I think is actually pretty cool, because you ended season one with the only living character, and now you don't know that you have a character, and Stacy and Mike are entering season three, at least confidently, that they will be able to pick up on the character that they left off, if indeed that's where we go.
There's a question here that may seem like a Veronica question. It's actually a Josh question, believe it or not. How much planning went into the new AI scene? Was it just improv when Stacy started playing her, or was it planned?
Can I say that I think that the AI was so serendipitous, because when we did the season two promo, you know, there was like this really awkward place for me where I was like, well, I don't know if I want Stacy on AI or Stacy as Mary Mason to voice that part. And I believe Stacy was like, oh, the AI sounds cool. I want to do that. And I was like, oh, cool. We'll do a cool vocal effect and all of that. And I don't know. I loved the way that Josh and Stacy and I guess I interacted and made that AI something more than I had initially given a character to. And I was like, oh, this is great. And it's just one of those awesome team world building things. And then I was super shocked, of course, when Josh went back to Mason 1 in the next to last episode. And I'll let you take over from there, Josh.
The deal with the new AI, Alice, I kind of made that up on the spot. The whole thing with me going to Mason 1, it was just, I felt like it was a thing that Eddie would be his kind of computer gut reaction to do. And it was just something that popped into my head, like, oh, there's this AI. Maybe she'll have a, you know, like a body inside the computer. And I just kind of went with it. And as far as all the dialogue and stuff goes, yeah, that was all improv. But in the streams, basically, Veronica said what that character would say, and then Stacy voiced that. But it was still all improvised and stuff. It wasn't scripted.
It was only streamed to a select group of people. Actually, I think it was just Gwen that was there at that point, right?
Dustin was there too.
Oh, okay, yeah, so there was two. Yeah, the only people who got to see the look on V's face when Josh is like, well, I'm just going to upload myself, was those two. the look on her face said it all. That was very not expected at all. It was a great, amazing moment.
Well, and I think that I get kind of a rap for saying no a lot to you guys and really being this force of destruction. And I mean, that is my job, you know, in being the GM of a Call of Cthulhu game. But I think that a lot of season two has really been showing that I actually do say yes to you guys a lot in mm-hmm. improv, in that there are very few things whenever the players will say, oh, is such and such here, or can I do this, where I just say absolutely not, don't even try to roll for it. But if you have the role to support something, fuck yeah, do it, you know.
Or you'll just say you can try anything and we're too discouraged to try.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. How about we do something right here on the show? Veronica, how far in advance to season three do you want to reveal to me who my character is, or that I need to create a character?
Never. Don't tell
if
them.
You tell me, if you tell me to, I will literally wait until the day before we stream season three, episode one.
Make it the day of. Just well, start the day of and then promo. Be like, Josh, you are playing this.
Well, I mean, I have to be able to have something in front of me, skills and saves. I have to have things to add to my roles. So I need to have some kind of time, but I am fairly confident in my abilities. This may be my downfall, but I will leave that up to you, Veronica, whenever you decide to grace me with that information. So what do you think?
I don't know. I'll see how I feel.
Yes. I like
it. Oh God. I'm nervous now. I've given her full rein to just screw me over. Although I think all of us have at this point, all of the cast members. I mean, we brought in a guest just to kill that motherfucker in the next episode. So.
Sup creepers, me again. Now, it seems Josh forgot to read off one of the questions. There was some really awesome information I think we should pass on. So, just imagine I'm Josh at the moment. So, kind of a cool question here. What kind of changes can we see in season three?
I get to work with Beth. You know, I designed all the logos, or the album art for season one and season two. And this time, I get to collaborate with Beth Maher, our new art director. I'm pretty excited about that. I really don't know what direction I'm going to take the art. I feel like season two was an evolved form of the season one artwork, but I really like to take season three's artwork in a new direction. So we'll have to see how that goes.
I've been very pleased with the changes that have been made from season to season in the artwork, the intros, the music. You know, it's like it's only gone up. So new season brings new excitement.
I have the music picked out for the intro for season three.
How long did we take to select that? Like a good 2 or 3 weeks where we kept on going back and forth between this love and hate. And then we finally found the right mix of it. It's pretty cool.
It's more of the same, but something different.
Yeah, no spoilers on that. I'm actually really excited about that one.
Yeah, you know what, though? I will say this. On the Cthulhu and Friends Twitter stream, I posted the album art from the album that the song came from. And it wasn't even the whole... It was like a zoomed in, just a portion of the album art. So if you're swift enough to find that and figure out who it is and what the song is... Don't say it out loud, you know, send me a DM or hit me up on Hangouts, but I'll give you a prize if you can guess what the song is that we're using for season three.
Oh, we'll send you a deck of Kraken playing cards. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Veronica.
Yes?
Is Veda truly immortal? And is Jack afraid of Veda?
Immortality is such a definite thing. God. I don't know. I don't know if Veda is immortal yet. There are things that I still have to figure out about Veda and Things I have to figure out about all of my NPCs. I mean, as much as I would love to say that they're all completely done growing, my NPCs grow.
Just like the PCs do.
Probably a little bit faster. I mean, they grow and they change to meet the need of the story. And maybe there will come a day when Veda dies or she surrenders. I mean, I don't see Veda as a person that would surrender even unto death. So I don't know.
You know, this brings me back to a line in one of the promos, which, what kind of queen has a boss?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the boss, there was a question that was, who was the person with the Russian accent?
Oh, that was Nika Howard. No, I'm kidding. yeah, that was Nika Howard that voiced that character for us in our mid-season promo. And she does a great Russian accent. For those of you that listen to our podcast that aren't part of the Geekly Inc. community, you can check out her show, D&D Podcast, on Twitter.
Drunks and Dragons.
Yeah, Drunks and Dragons, if you want to download that and give it a listen. It is very different from what we do, but if you enjoy tabletop RPGs, you should totally give it a listen. And she comes in later in the series. I want to say like
80 episodes in.
Yeah, many, many episodes in. So if you have something that you'd like to marathon, that's a really good marathon to go through.
And that being said, I do want to put out a shout out to the cast of Drunks and Dragons, because there's a lot of talk about blood feud and this rivalry between ourselves and the Drunks and Dragons crew. But dude, for real, those guys are all just fucking awesome dudes. I have met all of them in person and hugged all of them, and I think they've all seen me in a tiny pair of little boy underwear.
That's a thing that happened.
Yeah. And those are just awesome dudes, and
we receive nothing but support and encouragement from them, and you know, that's a really great friendship that we have. So
absolutely. And that actually leads to another question that you may or may not want to answer, Veronica, or mm-hmm. you know, you allow us to answer. How did we get linked up with Geekly Inc.?
I don't know. Are we supposed to say? We were invited. So I don't know. I mean, I think maybe we have touched on this a little bit. It's such an awkward thing. But yeah, we were invited end of January or so. Mm-hmm. I want to say, yeah.
It was right before we were closing out season one.
Yeah, I think we actually had season one closed in the can, and we were still editing the last episode or two. That's whenever we had our first conference call with them, and, you know, they were like, hey, join us. We're like, we're going on hiatus, so but we'll totally join. But it's been a great transition and a great move for us.
I think for me, as a social butterfly, being a part of Geekly Inc. has been pretty amazing, because I've made so many really, really good friends, not just with the members of Geekly Inc. itself, but with the community. And due to that community, you have things like Project Bombshell come about.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
I do have a question about Project Bombshell, if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. Are the Project Bombshell books going to be available in digital and physical? Also, will the books continue as long as the podcast does? As the producer man of sorts, yes, we will have it available in a digital and physical format. And for a certain tier of donators on Kickstarter, you can get one that is hand bound by the magical, mysterious Wizardbeard Dave Rollins, who is also one of our artists for Project Bombshell. I am also going to try to make that available for you on iTunes and on Comixology, and pretty much, you know, just the same way we do the podcast, any way that we can make it available to you, we are going to, because we want it in your hands. This is something that we are making for you, but because we love you. We love all our creepers.
And to address whether or not we will be continuing to make these, absolutely. I mean, if we can get funded on Kickstarter and get these rolling, You know, the idea is to always have something coming out and something for you guys to purchase and get the inside scoop on what these NPCs and what these dead characters sometimes are even doing. There is a whole world that we are exploring. And I know that season two, I mean, it was 22 episodes long. And I saw a thing on Twitter that was like, whoa, I didn't even think that it was like a week. But whenever I say, oh, I think 13 said, oh, in the week that since the attack, you know, such and such and such and such has happened. And someone was like, I had no idea that it had only been a week. And
yeah, the entire season takes place in like 7 days.
Yeah. And I have literally at this point over 1,000 years of content to go through and some really, really cool stories that I would love to get out to you guys. And I'm just really excited. And I hope that that goes through. I desperately want to let you guys see more of the world building that I do, because I only get, you know, an hour and a half tops with you guys every week. So it'll be super exciting to let that happen. And then, of course, I am so excited to throw work in the way of our artists, because it's sometimes really hard to get a paying gig as an artist. And if I can do anything to facilitate a creeper getting a job doing something that they love, fuck yes, I'm going to do that. I will write however many things I have to write so that my creeper community can enjoy the things that they want to enjoy. So yeah, I'm so excited about working with the artists that we work with. And there are plans to bring on more artists. Since we announced Project Bombshell, we've had so many great people, you know, throw their profiles at us and be like, hey, we do this. And I'm like, oh, fuck yes, I'm so excited. And this style will go great with the story I have in mind. So I'm very excited, you guys.
Yeah, if you are an artist and you feel like you have the skill to handle, you know, 30 pages of content, let us know, because this project is for the creepers. It's by the creepers. It's all about the creepers. Veronica, should we shed a little light on one of our stretch goals for these people?
Nope.
Oh, fuck.
No spoilers.
That's not a spoiler. We have a, yeah, okay. Spoiler, I'll drop sweetie. It in. It's whatever. I know we already talked about the train. Here's another train question. If the train went in reverse, would they travel backwards in time?
Can trains go backwards? I'm kidding. What asshole asked me that?
Gwen.
God damn it, Gwen. No, that's not how that works.
You know what would be kind of awesome is to do a side quest that is just the interdimensional circus troupe on the train.
That would be a badass comic for sure.
All right, this one is for everybody. What is your favorite ending song used in this season? I'm going last.
Me once again, Creepers. Sorry, had to jump in on this one because music is such a big part of my life. I absolutely love music. Josh and V have done an amazing job picking tracks for the end of the episodes. So the first one I'll say is the Seven Nation Army cover by Ben. I'm pissed off that I can't remember what episode that was on. But I love a good funk cover, and that was super fun. And the other one for me, thematically, I think Three Libras by Perfect Circle in episode 10 perfectly summed up what was going on with Eddie at that point in time and really fits so beautifully. And I love that song to boot. So it's a toss up between those two for me.
Oh, shit. Now I have to think about what they are.
Go with your gut.
Was Am I a Psycho used as an ending song?
Yes, it was.
That Tech was nine? My favorite. Yes, I think that was my favorite use of a song at the end.
I love Tech Nine.
Yes.
Anybody else? Anybody?
I have a tie. The first one, I mean, mostly just because of the fucking visual, but Cold Hard Bitch, whenever we met Luna, I was like, oh my God, nothing that Stacy has ever rolled has ever gone that well before. And it just made for the most dramatic character introduction I have ever had the pleasure to DM, and it was so exciting, and I loved it. That song, because I love the visual that that song was behind. The other one was probably I Am a God, whenever Clem comes back.
Mm. Mike Hole?
I really suck at music, so I wouldn't know the titles. So so I'm like thinking, and I was like, when she said Cold, I was like, oh yeah, that's what that's called. Which seems obvious, but that's how like not into knowing the titles of music I am.
So are you going to pass on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to have to pass, because otherwise I'll just make a fool of myself.
You doofy bitch. I think one of my favorites was episode 3. The episode that was dedicated to my dad. And it was the one where Eddie discovered his roboticness. And we used Deftones, Change in the House of the Flies at the end. And that was really like, it was kind of a goosebumpy moment. And then followed very closely by when we used Black Hole Sun. That one seriously gave me goosebumps. I got a physical reaction out of that. You know, and it's funny, I'll spend, I don't know how many hours producing this audio. And I know that when I going into it, I'll kind of know what I want it to sound like and what I want the end product to be. But then when I listen to it and I get a physical bodily reaction, like nausea for the case of, you know, splooshy gut noises, or, you know, shuddering or goosebumps, that's when I know that I have something special. When I get a physical reaction, knowing full well what to expect going into it. So Black Hole Sun gave me goosebumps. That was a really good one. I enjoyed that a lot.
What was the one when Jack showed up? He popped out from behind the rock.
Oh, Portishead. Yeah, that was perfect. I cannot remember the name of the song.
Yeah, see, I had no humming. Idea, but
the
I was
song,
like, I remember.
The song is called Humming.
I don't want to say I had to fight for that song, but when it comes down to it, like, you know, usually when we are editing, and for God's sakes, I hope that we don't continue to edit the night before and that we get things in the can. We are usually, we finish editing and then literally 20 minutes later, post it for you guys to have. That's how long it takes for us to turn over. And the worst things that get in the way are the ending song, wherein I will have an idea and I'm like, oh, this song is perfect, or Josh will have one that he thinks is perfect, and then we just fucking either duke it out or one of us has to take a back seat. And then the other thing is sometimes titles and things like that.
And I'd like to address something. This season has been rough as far as release dates and release times go. We've had a lot happen this year. As you guys know, my dad passed away. That kind of messed things up for a little while. And just kind of dealing with that. And people being sick and family things going on. And I just kind of wanted to go ahead and apologize for, you know, any late releases that we've had. I mean, we really want to release on Thursday at midnight every time. But life gets in the fucking way.
We are people with families, and, you know, well, I think that what's so great about, if you're not following us on Twitter, God damn it, get over yourself and get on Twitter and talk to us, because we love to talk to you. And I think that that's like one of the greatest things that has come out of this podcast is connecting with people on Twitter. Like when Josh's dad passed away, you know, it seemed like such a personal moment for us, but we had just this outpouring of love and support for Josh. And I was just so unbelievably grateful to see not just the fandom, but the humanity that comes with from our fans. And yeah. I mean, there's no question. I mean, we love you guys so much. But for me, I think seeing that, I was just like, if I ever had any doubts about continuing to do this podcast, I mean, that was where it ended. I mean, I knew at that point, I was like, oh, I'm not making this show for myself or for fans. It's like the people that we've connected with, they're like family to us, and I care about getting them a show that they enjoy. So yeah, for as long as I can reasonably make up content, we will always be here because yeah, you guys are our friends and our family, and that made it so evident to me.
And you know, back to the release date, we're going to be adjusting our recording days so that we can have a little bit more time to get our production done. Hiroshi is a champ when he edits us and makes us sound pretty and stuff. His turnaround on that is really good. But you know, the problem is we record on Saturday and Hiroshi works on the weekends. So sometimes, you know, we'll get that audio on Tuesday. Well, sometimes I have stuff going on Tuesday. So that leaves me with Wednesday to take all this audio and produce it, which doesn't sound like much, but man, it's a job. I'll do it all night if I have to, but we're going to give ourselves some extra time to get editing and production done to address the issue with release dates. And I understand that you guys understand, you know, and I appreciate that you guys understand real life stuff happens, but at this point, with the support that you guys have given us, I want to make sure that we're keeping up our side of this relationship.
Next question.
Yeah. Veronica, how do you manage the time of the episode so they always seem to end in a cliffhanger?
I need to have someone draw a graphic of this because the way that I world build and the way that I decided to DM a podcast specifically and the way that I have always tried to DM at the table, like in real life, is that your characters start out level one. And if you can imagine a multi-tiered wedding cake and your characters are starting out at the very top of this wedding cake and you guys are just kind of propelling down at the episode, but whenever I feel you guys kind of get to this point where you're getting close to the edge of this next tier, I call the episode. And the way that I do that is that a wedding cake is three-dimensional. And so no matter where you fucking go, you are headed for a cliffhanger. I want to say I've only ended one or maybe two episodes on not a cliffhanger, but it just seemed like the organic place to stop. But that's what you do. And I suggest that if you are wanting to bring that to the table, that you plan 20, 30 cliffhangers. And if they get there, great. And if they don't get there, lead them to another one. And when you're DMing for yourself at the table, let's say all of your friends come over and your normal session goes 4 or 5 hours. And anyone that plays D&D for real, that's easy. I think we all play 4 or 5 hours, right? When you get to that cliffhanger and when you know, like, oh, this is the place where I want to stop. If you've only been gaming for 2.5 hours, stop, because your players are going to come back fucking ready to go, ready to RP and hungry for the rest of their story. And I see that almost every single episode with Josh, Stacey, and Mike. I mean, when we end, it's always, you know, oh, I don't want to stop. And I'm like, fuck, dude, I've been in this fucking hot closet for 2 hours. We're done. I'm not doing it anymore. But, you know, stick to your guns. When you get to that cliffhanger, stop. And I guarantee you will have less of a problem with players saying, oh, I can't make it this week because of such and such and this and that. And you know, all of the bullshit reasons that we've all had for people, you know, kind of being lame and not coming to game night. But if you end on a cliffhanger every time, your people are going to come hard.
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, here's a fun question. And I want to answer it. A Cthulhu and Friends anime. How do we make that happen? Hashtag Project Bombshell 2. You guys, I would love to do a Cthulhu and Friends anime. If you were an animator, hit me up.
I guarantee I would slip in so many
in there. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Can you just imagine Jack being in the background like, ah! Like, you know. And dude, I would totally voice act my own characters. I mean, seriously.
It would be the most confusing for anyone that doesn't know that we started out as a podcast. It'd be like, this motherfucker's voice in every goddamn buddy.
No, I mean, it would be fine because, you know, Eric's down here now and then like Eddie's up here and then Jack's like, eh.
Oh my goodness. Beep, boop, beep.
Womp, womp. Here's a fun question. Another season two related question. What the fuck was that gas station? Whose was it, and what do they need all that intel for?
Oh my God.
I thought it was kind of obvious, but...
Oh, I would love to hear your theory. Please, tell me your theory.
Well, I mean, okay, this is what I put together. So the people with the helicopter who would have taken Ronald to the Library of Congress, it was their gas station because, you know, when we tried to make that happen, they're like, oh, the people with the helicopter, their thing blew up and da-da-da. I mean, obviously, that's where the boss's hangout was. I mean, that's what the boss's lair was, you know, that Nika Howard Russian sumbitch. But I don't have any explanation for the money and the medicine and stuff.
Okay, guys. One, I will give you a sneak peek into maybe late season three, possibly season four. I'm not sure. It depends on where the characters get on this wedding cake. At the end of the season, Jack shows Eric this new dimension that he's opened. And the thing that we don't know about Jack, but that will be kind of explained in the Project Bombshell comics, is that Jack is like totally all about experiments. And so this isn't the first portal that he's opened up. And there are leftover thin areas where Jack has maybe tried things and maybe he didn't think they worked out.
Thinnies?
Yeah, like thinnies. And I will say that one of the characters in the mid-season promo is not from this dimension.
That's a very short list of characters.
It is a very short list of characters.
It was Warren. I bet it's Chuck. You got it, boss!
If that's his real name.
Veronica, was there something special with the guy in the reflection in Cam's insanity? And who slash what was it? Can I give my little part on this?
Actually, Josh and I talk about the show probably more than we should. It's something that is like an ongoing conversation that never fucking stops. And we were in the living room talking and he was like, you know, it'd be kind of cool is if yadda-da-da-da happened. And I thought, huh, yep, that would be cool. And yeah, this was all Josh's doing. So go ahead, say how you came to this.
When I was a young lad, I was not necessarily censored in the things that I could watch on television. So I used to watch a show called Tales from the Crypt. You may remember it. And I would like to point out that when the Crypt Keeper popped out of his coffin in the opening credits, it scared the fucking shit, piss, fuck shit out of me every time, even though I knew it was coming. Like, I'd be like, I'm not going to jump. I'm not going to jump. And he'd be like, yeah. And then I'd fucking jump every time. I hated it. Anyway, there was an episode once about a guy who basically every time he looked at his reflection, he saw somebody behind him. And each successive time that he saw that reflection, the guy was closer until the end when he was making love to his wife. And he saw the dude in the reflection in her eyes and he was strangling him. That is where it came from. And I gave this to Veronica and I was like, this would be an awesome insanity effect. And she was like, yeah, it would. Little did I know, literally the next day she would run with it. So, Mike, I'm sorry.
Well, like I said, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it worked out so well and it was just perfect. I had almost forgotten about it altogether. And then whenever the episode came, I was like, oh no, fuck, that's it. That's what it has to be. It was perfect.
Third stream. What is it and how can I help? Well, let me say on that, if you have a penis, you may not help on the third stream.
This is true. And that's all of the things that we're going to say about that.
Really? We're not going to give anything else? Other than there's a third stream coming.
Well, I mean, we also have Clem Ventures coming, so...
Yeah, but that's going to be either side quests or random encounters. I mean, that's not the third stream.
You mean like, oh, I'm sorry, a third show.
Yes, a third show.
So let's clarify. So we have a new stream coming in the side quests, and that will be the Clem Ventures. But yeah, there is another show coming. It's one that Stacy and I are working on together, so it should be pretty fun. And we have some other people joining up with us.
From Geekly Inc.?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
Can I at least say what it's called?
No.
No.
Oh, it's such a good name, though.
God damn it, Josh. Yeah, it's not your show. And, back and I the have to fuck say, off.
This is the first thing that we have done that I haven't fucking named. God damn it. And I hate it.
Well, too goddamn bad. Back the fuck off.
Here's the pair of questions. When will Josh's characters die? When will Mike's characters not die?
When the dice say so? I don't know what to tell you on that.
I thought that was a fun one. Veronica.
Yes, sir.
This one came out of my brain. What happened to the goggles?
I know their location.
Do you?
I do.
I want them in real life. Mike and Stacy, if you guys personally have any questions, we really need to get those out because I think that's fun.
Well, I have a dumb one that's somewhat connected to the one you just asked.
Okay, go ahead.
In the end of season one, Xander wandered through the halls and saw the twins and a few other NPCs that we ran into at the beginning of season one. Are there any plans for those people to come back?
There were people that we met in season one that may have seemed inconsequential, and perhaps their meetings with us were brief.
Creepy Alan!
Creepy Alan is dead, for sure.
God damn it.
But there are children that were alive in season one that died in season two.
Bombshell?
Bombshell.
Ooh. Stace?
I don't have any questions.
It's because you are a bitch.
No, I ask questions as we go through things, and V's very secretive about what's coming up. And I have just learned that rather than ask questions, I want to learn the answers through the roleplay.
Thank you.
I like it.
Which also brings me to another point in that we will not have a mid-season Q&A. We will only do a Q&A after this season wraps. So FYI, guys, we only have one that will come out in season three, and that'll be after we complete.
Oh, you guys, there's some more questions that popped up in the Twitch from fucking Rob. How pissed were you, V, when I ignored the groundskeeper behind the barricade in episode one?
Gosh, if I was pissed, I don't remember it. I think I was mostly just nervous in episode one, to be totally honest.
Our butts were all sucking peanut butter. Actually, I was cool as a fucking cucumber.
This is not true.
I was cool as a cucumber. No, I'm not. Always cool as a cucumber.
Stacy and I can attest to the fact that you were just as nervous as we were.
No, when you look up cool as a cucumber during episode one of Cthulhu and Friends in the dictionary, you see a picture of me.
It shows a picture of someone else flipping us off.
It shows a picture of a cucumber lying at the bottom of a ladder in a sewer.
I don't remember V being angry at Josh ignoring the groundskeeper, but I do remember her being like, you're not gonna look into this, and he's like, no, I think it's normal.
Yeah,
and
she's like, here. And then
okay.
But you know, during Stacy, the anniversary episode, I was like, I don't know that fucking guy. Yeah. I know everybody here. I'm Jack God fucking damn Thompson.
Wait a minute. And this is what happens when you made a game, is that your character gets a shot in the fucking throat.
Oh, are you kidding me? Kiss my butt crack.
Wait, is that what really happened?
No.
I was going to say, no. Wow.
Whoa. I was in for the long con.
Veronica, cat people, how do they work? By which I mean, did the infection start with the cask?
You can find out this information in Rise of the Cat People, Project Momshell, Volume 2.
Is Jack a servant of Cthulhu fighting against Nyarlathotep / Harold?
No.
Well, that's more Project Bombshell, right?
Yeah, I guess it is. But it's also going to be very season 3 as well.
Ooh. What podcasts do you listen to? Stacy, you go first. Oh, don't tell me. Fucking Serial. Go ahead and answer.
Oh, God, yeah. Stacy and I are all up in that fucking Serial. Oh, my God.
We might be a little obsessed.
Too much. Stacy and I realized together that we had Friday morning, we were talking at work, and I was like, I stayed up until 2 a.m. looking up shit for Serial. She's like, I know, right? And I'm like, ah!
So, yeah,
we love Serial.
That's a recent obsession.
Yeah.
But I also listen to the other Geekly Inc. podcast, Drunks and Dragons, Sayer. I listen to Top 5. I'm really into Beer and Battle right now, which is, they do, like, I think different systems. I'm listening to their Pathfinder game right now.
Because you're trying to learn Pathfinder, right? Aren't you going to DM that at some point?
I'm trying to. I ran through a game with Dave. We played for like 7 hours yesterday.
Stacey, can I please play a game with you as a DM? I want to do that.
Once I figured out the system and stuff, I'll see about getting you guys in on it. But right now, it's all still really new, and there's a lot of things to like work out and figure out still. So other than that, I think I have listened to some of the Dire Weasels. I'm a little bit behind, but I'm still working on that. And there's a drama podcast called The Leviathan Chronicles that I've been listening to, but they've been pretty much MIA for a year and they stopped in the middle of the story. They're supposed to be picking it back up, but we'll see.
Boo.
It's good though. It's very interesting.
Mikey?
Obviously, I started listening to the Cthulhu and Friends first, as I had never heard of a podcast before Josh invited me. So from there, I listened to Drunks and Dragons, We're Alive, until it ended recently. I started listening to Night Vale. I've got the Leviathan Chronicles on there. I've got a few other things, RPG Academy. I've started a lot of things and then stopped because a lot of things were going on in my life. But I'll probably be jumping back in those soon here as I'm getting better. Yay!
Ravonica.
Okay, guys, forgive me. I'm just going to open up my thing and I'll just tell you guys what I fucking listen to. So obviously Serial, I'm really into that, but that's, you know, only 9 episodes deep. I also enjoy This American Life. I listen to Freakonomics Radio, HP Podcraft, Drunks and Dragons. There's a really cool podcast called Away with Words, and I really enjoy that one. I listen to Terror Transmission as well, and let's see, I don't listen to as many podcasts as I used to because I listen to a lot of audiobooks during the day, so I listen to about 2 to 3 audiobooks a week, so that's really where a lot of my audio time goes. I'm sorry to disappoint everyone with my very lame list.
I have to say kind of the same thing as Veronica. I have recently restarted the Song of Ice and Fire, the George R.R. Martin Game of Thrones audiobooks. So I've been knee deep in those for the second time. But when I do listen to podcasts, I listen to a lot of HP Podcraft. I've listened to all of their Lovecraft coverage at least twice now. I just have a lot of respect for those guys. I learned a lot about production and ambience and stuff listening to their podcast. Also, you know, listen to some Drunks and Dragons to support my buddies. Night Vale, I have to admit, lost me. I used to be a staunch Night Vale fan, and then I just did not. Once they got into the Evil Corporation thing, like, it just made my dick super, super soft, and I just didn't care for the story, and then it got back to a point where I enjoyed it again. I hate to say this, to be completely honest, our show has ruined me for a lot of podcasts because there are a lot of shitty quality podcasts out there, and I just can't even stomach it anymore.
You like ruined me before I even started CAF, and then We're Alive is a very produced podcast as well. And so I was like, wow, they're all like this. And then I found out it's not at all true.
Yeah, no, not at all. I recorded this with my motherfucking iPhone, motherfuckers.
My sweet summer child.
Here's a really interesting question. And I think I can touch on this as well as you, Veronica. It's the end of season two, and you've been exposed to many more listeners now. How much more hate mail have you gotten, and about what?
I wouldn't even say we got hate mail initially. I think we've only gotten maybe like a poor review once from someone that thought that Josh was like a legit misogynist, which anyone that legitimately knows Josh knows that he respects women, you know, completely. And he and Stacey have this little tit for tat, and you know, that's kind of just their joke.
Real quick, that review was actually deleted, and the guy resubmitted a 5-star review, and at the end said, "Love you, Josh."
Yeah, so I think you just have to get to know Josh to know that he's not a misogynist and that he is actually a very nice guy.
I'm a sensitive man.
We got a little bit of backlash whenever we started season two, just because it was so different from how we did season one with, you know, our out music and our new
Doomsday
intro. And yeah, we had dubstep, and I enjoy dubstep. I love it. It's like disco. It's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to enjoy it until it's gone. But I think that once people kind of got on board and saw where we were going with the show, it was more accepted. And then, of course, I also brought in fucking two casts, two parties. And Hiroshi asked me about this the Saturday that I called the season. And he was like, why did you choose that? And I was like, you know, my role players come to the table every fucking time not knowing what I'm going to throw at them. And every time they try to grow. And this was one of the ways that I wanted to grow myself as a DM. And I think if you're playing in a set world that you've created and you have multiple groups of friends that you want to play, you can eventually just start a second party where they're kind of playing against each other. And if you're an experienced DM, I would encourage you to try running multiple parties and running them into each other. It's pretty fun. But that was a challenge to myself. I think that people had a really hard time kind of getting on board with that at first, because it was very confusing, because Stacey had two characters, as did Josh and Mike. And I think it was just jarring for sure. But I tried to handle it in the most clear way that I could possibly do it. And I want to say that, you know, once we kind of switched back and forth from the parties, everyone kind of caught on, and I didn't receive any negative email regarding the character switches or production or anything. I think everyone really, once they saw the direction that I was going in and the direction that the show was going in, they were very on board.
Have there been any listeners with disparaging opinions about your story versus Lovecraft's, Veronica?
No, I want to say that I had one listener, and I'm not even sure if he even listens to the podcast anymore. I want to say that Stacey and I are probably the only people that remember this guy, but he was one of our first really vocal listeners on Twitter. And whenever I rolled to see if Anya got pregnant, he did this tweet. He's like, if Anya's pregnant, I'm done with the show. And I was like, well, okay. And I was like, I'm going to run my game the way that I run it, and you're welcome to listen or not. And I will never change my story for anyone. That's just how that is. And I remember being like so fucking pissed about it. And Stacey was like, fuck that guy. She's like, you're doing a good job, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, whatever. But I was so pissed. And I said what I wanted to say, and that was it. And then when we came in at season two and we dropped Doomsday, he was like, Cthulhu don't dance. And I was like, fuck yeah, Cthulhu dances when I tell him to, bitch. That was it.
Veronica, I think the question was your canon versus Lovecraft's canon.
That was it. Cthulhu dances when I tell him to dance, and that was it.
Oh, okay. Let's get technical for a second. What do you record on? What do you edit with? Let's see, Veronica and I are both on MacBooks. Everybody else is on PC. We all use Yeti microphones, not Yeti Pros, just Yetis. And I think we're all on Audition now, right?
Mm-hmm. I just downloaded it. I'm not running it yet.
Okay, well, Mike and Stace were on Audacity. Stacey switched over to Audition, and Mikey is about to switch over to Audition. So, yeah, that's what we do. And Hiroshi uses Audition to edit, and I use Audition to produce. Do you, Veronica, do we have the Franken 20 rules written down somewhere, and can we get some? Is that a thing that we can include in the Necronomicon?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I'll include it in the Necronomicon, but I do have plans to actually, like, kind of put that out there and get it to you. I also have a fiasco game that I just need art for, and then I'm also going to release that for you guys as well. But once I get that, then I will distribute that PDF to my patrons. Yeah, but yeah, the Die 20 system, the Franken 20, is totally something that I am going to get into your beautiful hands by some means.
Here's one. Do we ever use or record backup audio? Sadly, that would be a no, and that has been to our detriment in the past. Some of you may remember the debacle that was season 1, episode 17, the first time around. That had horrible, horrible audio issues. Oh, yeah, and then I threw up and passed out.
That was 18.
Yeah, that's right. Well, no, we re-recorded 17 and 18. Yeah. I think the anniversary episode, we had to re-record because Stacy's computer stopped recording 45 minutes in. And honestly, I think that what we ended up with the second time around was better. There were some things that didn't happen. It went a different direction for the first half of it. I'll just leave it at that because Veronica didn't want us just blowing through it. And then there was one more episode, I think, that we had to re-record because we just lost audio. But yeah, unfortunately, I mean, Audition takes up a lot of processing power to begin with. So creating back, and also if we created a backup, it would probably not be as good quality as our original audio. And quality is number one. First and foremost, we have to make sure that our audio is good. So, you know, sometimes we get fucked and have to re-record an episode. It's whatever. We do what we gotta do.
Yeah, I think that's also one of the things that's different about our show is that it is not canon until it makes the episode. So we might record something and we might go on this really long tangent of stuff that, you know, we just end up cutting because, well, it was boring or it was just stupid or whatever. It doesn't really happen often, but there are things that just get cut because it's going nowhere. And it was just either me or it's usually me or Josh have gone off on this tangent and it just doesn't need to be. And so we'll cut it and that's it. But nothing is canon in our story until it's published.
Here's a funny question. Will you ever let your children listen to the podcast? I mean, I'm sure that they're going to come across it at some point, and I don't know. I'm sure that Mike isn't going to have much of a problem letting his kids listen because he says fuck more in front of them than he does on the show, I think.
This is true. You know, they actually hear it because Melissa listens to it without headphones. She just walks around the house with it playing.
Really,
so
Mel?
I hear it half the time when she's listening to it versus when I'm listening to it at work or whatever. So it's usually pretty funny.
Our children have not heard the show.
No.
And I don't know that I would ever say, oh, hey, mom and dad have this show. I might let them listen to Ghostbusters.
If they came across it when they were older, you know, and then they were like, hey, I found your podcast and I listened to it, I'd be like, well, that cat's out of the bag. What'd you think? You know, and I might go from there. But, I don't think there will ever be a time when I present it to them until they're much, much older. I mean, my kids are 6 and 7 right now, so they don't need to know about Mike's character taking a dead cat and jamming his dick down its throat. That's not a thing I want to expose my kids to.
But, I mean, they do know that we have a show and
yes,
they know what our album art looks like and
I mean, they recognize our swag, I guess, our merchandise. So they know that it exists. They've met Mike and Stacy because of the podcast.
And Dave, right?
And Dave, yeah. And yeah. Dave as well. And so they've met these people and they know that I record in the closet and Josh records in the office. But yeah, as far as the content goes, they don't know anything about it. But when I'm getting ready for work in the morning, the kids always want to come in and, can you turn on your computer and let us listen to ourselves on your microphone? I'm like, no, it's very expensive. Get away.
Man, we have gone through more just information in this Q&A than I think we ever have. I do want to point out that if you want to know more about the beginnings of Cthulhu and Friends, jump on the RPG Academy's podcast. We actually did an interview with them. I want to say it's episode 51 of Table Topics. It's called Friends of Cthulhu and Friends. Give that a listen. It's a really fun interview. I had a really, really good time doing that. It's Veronica and I being interviewed by Caleb and Michael of the RPG Academy. And check that out. Those guys, give them a listen. That's probably where we're going to call it for this Q&A. And we're going to do this again after the end of season 3. I know that seems like forever away because we got, you know, 6 weeks between.
It'll be about this time next year. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Most importantly, to the creepers, you guys have changed all our lives. You have given us like a purpose, a reason to do the things that we enjoy doing. And we appreciate you. And thanks for making Project Bombshell a possibility. Stay tuned because, you know, we've got side quests and then our super secret third stream coming up and then the Clem Ventures. So, man, I mean, we're going to keep coming with stuff for you guys to enjoy, to expand our universe and bring you more into it. So thank you from Cthulhu and Friends. Thank you.
Hey, Josh, what's the release date for that Kickstarter?
I can't remember the day specifically, but it is in February of 2015.
Yeah, February 2015. So follow us on Twitter so that you know exactly when that's going to be released.
You know, any other information you guys want to know, just, hey, man, hit us up on Twitter. You can find the show at CAF Podcast.
I'm at Typical Veronica.
You can find me at Definitely Stacy.
I'm at One Gaming Lane.
Look me up and maybe Hiroshi.
And I'm at It's Probably Josh. And holy fuck, 3 seasons of a podcast. Doomsday.
It's really funny because even though you did the countdown, I truly wasn't ready, but I managed to still get it off in time.
Oh yeah, get it off. Mikey always gets off in time.
I'm quick.
Bloopers already, huh? Hey everybody, welcome to Cthulhu and Friends. This is the
the hell was that?
No one even interrupted you that time.
I know.
He interrupted himself.
Maybe I can be co-DM.
No.
Next.
Who's next?
Stacy, you're always
usually
next.
Usually you.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
You dumb bitch.
Ouch.
I'm Stacy.
Character.
Yeah, your one character murdered your other character inadvertently.
Spoilers, everyone. If you are not caught up, stop immediately and catch yourself up.
If you are not caught up, just fucking get off the stream right now because Jesus Christ.
I have questions about how it ends.
Excuse me.
You did that right into the mic, too.
I did. No, I was like, here we go. This. Okay. Ooh, here's a good one. There's a car. Hold on.
I gotta get a drink. I'll be back.
That's why I filled up my wine glass extra full.
Extra fizzles. Look how blue my drink looks. This is my second one. About a third of this is vodka. Like a third of the glass, not a third of the
liquid. How blue is that shit that you pour into it?
It's a Monster Ultra Blue. It's the lighting. It's actually more of a light, cloudy blue. but it looks just freaking fluorescent, neon day glow blue in the
That's the Cthulhu and Friends glass, too.
Transition in a great move for us.
Wow.
You can cut that.
Yeah, please, please. Excuse me, I belched. I'm in a mow. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Jack is all about experiments. After burp, hold on.
Is it Gwen's birthday? Gwen, is it your birthday?
No, I think her birthday is December 1st.
What the? Bitch, it's not your birthday. Change your name. Shit.
It's coming up, though. It's called getting prepared.
No fucking birthday week. Kiss my ass.
I could be wrong, but let's see.
Oh, you know what? I'm just going to knock out all of Gwen's questions right now. Do you secretly love me most? No. Will you marry me? No.
Bigamy's illegal.
I got it right. Her birthday is December 1st.
Stacy is the true creeper.
I may stalk a lot on Twitter. I have no apologies for that.
So here's what I'd like to know is, like, how do you get... No, I won't say anything else. Go ahead.
No, spit it out.
It'll come to light eventually, so...
We gotta let it stew.
Yeah, let it go.
Let it go! Let it go!
Anyway.
How dare you.
Can't even say that around that. Carter right now.
Mm-mm. Eden either.
Yeah. Shall we say it together? Rise of the Cat People, Project Bombshell.
Rise that wasn't cat together. People.
Yeah,
Rise of the Cat. Oh.
You say it.
Who? Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find out this information in Rise of the Cat People, Project Bombshell, Volume 2.
What is this question that Dapper and Gwen are talking about asking?
I think it stems from a conversation they were trying to have previously, where people were discussing a subject that somebody else who was given a sword did not agree with, and they cleared the chat. So that person's not here tonight, so they were trying to have that conversation again, I think.
Whatever the question is, just fucking ask it so we can answer it. God damn.
They did ask it, but it's not podcast related, I don't believe.
Well, now I'm just curious.
It was penis versus vagina. Like, I thought it was based the beauty question, right? It was something about,
oh my god,
could a penis or a vagina be attractive, and if so, which one is more attractive than the other, or something like that.
I think a vagina can be attractive. That being said, I think a vagina can also be fucking horrendous, like a Shoggoth.
Wow, like a Shoggoth.
Let me just say, I'd rather kiss a vagina.
Penises are just goofy looking.
Penises can be very ugly.
And they spit, yeah, they like can. Camels.
They're goofy looking.
But, well, I think it really just goes both ways. Either one can be attractive, but there are also some out there that are very not attractive.
The attractiveness of genitalia depends on how long it's been since you've been fucked. So,
so okay, here's
a
question.
I think he's pretty dead on about that.
Like, can you see a dick and be like, that's a sexy dick? Like, is that a thing that girls ever do?
God damn, no. I've never once thought
that's the thing.
This.
A dude can see a cooch and be like, that's a nice cooch. That's a sexy cooch.
I would agree with this.
Yeah. So, vaginas win.
That's fine.
God damn
it. Vaginas win. So. I mean, I didn't think that was ever the contest. I mean, that was... Vaginas win.
That's why Rome fell. They had too many penis statues. Just saying.
Oh, leaning tower of dick.
Penis.
Wait, Stacy, you role-played with Dave for 7 hours yesterday?
Oh my god, I did. I bet your pussy is so sore.
Moving on.
What did you just say to me?
I didn't say anything. Oh. My mic was muted. It was Stacy being rude.
It sounded just like
my bad. My bad. I thought my mic was muted.
Sorry.
Did you say something cunty?
That's why I stopped.
No. No, I said, oh, I did leave some out. My bad.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Hiroshi, just record your little dumb, your name, your Twitter name, and just put it in there.
I'm at maybe Hiroshi.
My butt is Hiroshi.
All right, let's close it down.
My goodness.
2 hours, shit dicks. And how am I sober, dude? I've had 8 ounces of fucking vodka.
I don't feel like you are as sober as you think you are because you're tangenting so hard. Let's push stop.
Stand up first.